Wisconsin's lakes and rivers are a real treasure. If you enjoy seeing the sights from water level, it's a whole new dimension, I think, and it's a great way to enjoy our Wisconsin's natural areas. Being in a kayak or a canoe really makes you feel more like you're part of the environment instead of just a visitor, and we're lucky to have Darren Bush with us. He comes by a few times a year to share his love of paddling and his knowledge, what he knows about how to make it safe and enjoyable for you and for me. He's the owner and chief paddling evangelist of Rutabaga Paddle Sports of Madison. Darren, always great.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming by. There are lots of things we can talk about. Just to talk about trips, talk about gear, what to store, how to store your gear over winter. Maybe Darren will, I'm sure, share some tips with you if you'd like to paddle but haven't. What's stopping you? He can tell you how to get going on it as well. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post at the Larry Mueller Show. I already have a couple of people who've posted really cool photos, and so get on there. Even if you're not going to post yourself, take a look at what's already up there. We have an email from Kevin right off the bat here, asking this is about kayaks. He's wondering if the Honor Mirage kayak is worth the extra money. My wife takes pictures of loons, and she's thinking she wants to buy one. Any help for a good choice for a photographer would be appreciated.
Sure. I think he means the Hobie Mirage.
Probably.
Probably. So the answer to that question is always the same. If it does the tool, it's a tool that works for you, then it's worth the extra money. If she wants to take pictures and have her hands free, it's a very, very nice kayak. And photographers actually use them quite a bit for that reason. So, yeah, if it's in the budget, go for it.
And what is it that makes it kind of good for that?
It's pedal powered, so you can use your feet to move it along. So I've actually used one before for taking pictures on the water because you can just kind of pedal your feet back and forth and shoot whatever you want. It's cool.
Dan emailed it too. Looking for a plastic kayak suitable for downriver whitewater racing for the event I do, the Piranha Rapid Speeder. Looks to be the popular and fast choice, but I'm wondering what other kayaks you might suggest.
That's actually the first one I would recommend. It's a very nice boat. So for those who don't know, downriver whitewater racing is basically unlike normal whitewater where you play and goof off. It's to get down the river as fast as you possibly can. And those boats were traditionally made in fiberglass, and you spent a couple hours racing and 3 days fixing your boat. These are plastic and really, really nice, really fast. The other one you might look at is the Dagger Green boat, which is a little bit shorter, not quite as quick, but a little more maneuverable. And that's the boat that wins the Green River race in North Carolina a lot of the time. It's very, very competitive. Yeah.
We have Tim and Nina who has a question for you. So let's see if we can go to, what do we got here? Well, a little problem getting our calls.
Tim, I can feel your presence. You're there. I know you're there.
Well, supposedly, let's see here if I can move this. We got a little problem with our unit here. I can't get calls up. So
what's his question?
His question, the little tip that I've got is normal versus Greenland paddle. So a normal paddle, and I assume this is for a
kayak. Yeah.
Kayak.
I can talk about that.
Okay. All right. So, what's the normal paddle?
So normal paddle, they also call them Euro paddles, and it has a shaft, about the diameter of a broomstick and, between 230 centimeters long, and then a sort of a paddle-like blade at the end. That's kind of when you think of kayak paddle, that's what you think of. A Greenland paddle is longer and skinnier, and the blade is between, 3 and 4 inches wide. And usually Greenland paddles are between 80 and 85 inches long. So you have the same amount of blade. It's just long and skinny instead of short and fat.
Okay.
And they both do things very well. The nice thing about a Greenland paddle, it's a little easier on your shoulders because you have less less shock, I guess. When you put the paddle in the water, you know, it slips a little bit. They're really cool for doing the roll, for doing kayak rolling. People really like them for different reasons. I have one. I use it periodically. It's neither better nor worse. It's just different.
Yeah. There you go. We had an email from... we actually had a caller who asked how to patch a hole in a plastic Coleman canoe.
There's a product called Rec Repair. It's REC Repair, all one word. And Rec Repair is it's a polyethylene plastic that has adhesive on it. That I'm not sure where they made the adhesive, but it's the strongest adhesive I've ever seen. It's pretty amazing. It'll stick to pretty much anything. So I get some Rec Repair. And you can rough up the plastic a little bit and clean it with a little bit of acetone, get any residual oil off of it. Mm-hmm. And then you just slap this stuff on. You heat it up with a hairdryer or a heat gun. Mm-hmm. Or you can use a boiling water with like a pan and boil some water. If you're out in the wilderness, you can take a pan of boiling water and kind of iron the patch. And then you can just slap it on there. And it's wow. A permanent patch. Yeah, it's really cool stuff.
That's great. Well, we've got... our phone situation taken care of. Let's go to Jamie in Spooner. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, I'm up in Spooner here with the Wisconsin Canoe Heritage Museum, and you're talking about things to do, you know, later in the fall here. We're putting on our annual regatta, autumn regatta, September 22nd and 23rd, and there'll be canoe games, demonstrations of paddle building and different paddling techniques, as well as a big barbecue dinner Saturday.
Oh, we lost him. Jamie, I'm sorry. we lost him, and I didn't get the, I'm not sure about the date. He may call back.
Yeah, I think he said the 26th.
Of this month.
Week, that weekend, yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
I am, yeah. Those kind of rendezvous are really fun, and the thing that's cool about them is you think you have to be an expert or a guru to go to those. No, they love newbies. Because it's they love to teach, they love to share their information. I've been to the Wooden Canoe Heritage Association, which is the nationwide rendezvous a couple times in upstate New York, and the boats there are spectacular. They're beautiful, and I've got a couple wood canvas boats myself, and I've got a 22-footer that seats four. I don't pick it up by myself, but
no.
I sure love to paddle it. It's really fun. With four people in it, that thing moves along.
Caller who couldn't stay online wondered about the pros and cons of the Greenland paddles. We didn't talk about that, did we?
Yeah,
we did talk about that. Sorry. Got another caller coming up here, but let's talk about places to go in fall, this time of the year. One of the we were going to go to a river kayak in the Cambridge area. And it turned out that the place where we were going to go, the canoe, or the kayak rental place, wasn't doing it because the creek or the river was too low.
So we went
instead on Lake Ripley and had a wonderful time.
Sure, yeah, it's been a rough year for winter for rivers. We paddled the Wisconsin a couple times and. Arena put in there. It's usually you can drop right in, but we had to walk our boats out, 75 yards to get to the river over a sandbar. The channel's still there and there's still water, but I paddled the Grant River last week right after that little rainstorm, and that made a huge difference in the paddleability. But southern Wisconsin's obviously because of the drought, it's been rough on rivers this year.
And that Grant River, you said that that's a nice. Kind of a
The Grant River is
hidden gem, sort of.
Yeah, I shouldn't tell you this, but it's kind of Kickapoo like. It's got some nice, bluffs and beautiful, the ferns filling in the cracks and some white pines that got pushed south by the glaciers. It's just a lovely little river, and it's about an hour closer to my house than the Kickapoo is. So
yeah, there you go. Jamie is back on about the event, Jamie. Sorry, we lost you.
Quickly, I'll get to it. It's September 22nd and 23rd at Leisure Lake Camp, north of Spooner. Go to www.wisconsincanoeheritagemuseum.com for information or 715-635-2000. 2479. Along with all the paddling events, this is on a lake, so there is water. Because we have very old, you know, we're going to have a lot of nice canoes, very old canoes. So most of this will be going on Leisure Lake. Also, Saturday night we'll have Duck for the Oyster, along, which is a band, local band, with a dance. Food, drawings, all of that. And then Sunday morning, a pancake breakfast, and then a shuttle for a four-hour trip down the Namekagon, which currently does have enough water to go down.
Cool.
Yeah, Northern Wisconsin's actually doing okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been getting good water, and we've been out there. I think our group, March 12th was our first canoe trip down the Namekagon this year.
I think that was my first trip on the Badfish Creek down here. Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I assume you're doing repair clinics and building and some of that fun stuff.
We'll have all kinds of stuff going on there. Also, the museum will be open. We're at Canoocopia every year, love it there. So it's been a great partnership.
And we put a link up, Judith put a link up on our Facebook page to your event.
Okay, great.
Jamie, so if you didn't get that information, you can just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and Judith's already got that up. So thanks for coming.
Yeah, that's Saturday the 22nd and Sunday the 23rd. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And I have to say, for people who are just interested in maybe giving it a try, kayaking, that is, there are opportunities. And I don't know how long in the season you folks at Rutabaga do this, but Renee and Emily and I did an evening kayak, and it was just right from your shop and up into Lake Monona. Got there in time for the lights, for the sun to be down, and the great view of the Capitol, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, we go through about the 1st of October. That's generally
about the 1st of October.
And, you know, the weather can be good or bad after that, so we don't want to plan anything. But that's generally the cutoff, but, of course, none of us stop.
Well, it was wonderful, and we really had a good time, and I noted that there were people who had never been in a kayak before, and then there are some that had been on the trip with you several times, so it was a big range, and everybody got along fine.
Yeah, I really, the only thing I like better than paddling is seeing beginners paddle.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I'm, you know, the CPE, you know, Chief Paddling Evangelist is, when I see someone get in a boat for the first time, there's really nothing better than that. It's amazing.
And our last caller mentioned the Namekagon. If we're looking on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, Amanda sent a photo she took during a canoe and camping trip last October on the Brule River, and that is a lovely river and a lovely photo.
Yeah, one of my favorites, the Bois Brule, and there's the Bois Brule and the other Brule. The Bois Brule is over running into Lake Superior near Superior, near Brule, actually, up by Lake Superior there. It's one of my favorite rivers. I love it. It's a beautiful trout stream. It's actually a little known fact. It's been fished by more U.S. presidents than any other river in the United States.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
Way back.
Yep. Way back.
Yep.
That is very cool. Well, Amanda, thanks for sending that photo. It really brought to mind, it's very much like another spot where some friends and I have dined on many a fish, fresh fish caught in the water and brought into shore and done on an open fire, and there's nothing better, is there?
Nothing better.
Nothing better. And one more photo, Mary Beth. She and her husband, Rick, and a 13-year-old son, Matt, took a couple of four-day trips on Lake Superior, enjoying the Apostle Islands. They bought wetsuits and wet exits to roll on both sides to scull for support, and several re-entries. They had a terrific time. So did the dog, she says. But I didn't want to go.
Whoa, where's the dog?
No. I don't know where the dog would be in that.
The dog may not have been in the kayaks when they were. I think the dog might have just gone along for the ride.
Okay, no animals were harmed in this paddling trip, right?
But she posts a really nice photo there as well.
It's beautiful.
We are talking with Darren Bush, CPE, Chief Paddling Evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, talking kayaking and canoeing with him and where to go and how to do it. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page, post there at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking canoeing and kayaking with Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. And Linda in Green Bay has a question for you. So let's go there. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I am 65 years old and would like to be a kayaker. I have never kayaked. We do have a cottage in northern Wisconsin, so I'm thinking of using it primarily on a lake.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if your guest could talk about what kind of kayak would be suitable for that type of kayaking and for someone my age and someone who's an entry-level kayaker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good question that I hear periodically, like 10 mm-hmm. times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So the best answer for that is the boat that you'll use. And what that means for people who are, you know, a little older is that it's one that's light. So for people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s even, the lightest boat is the best boat, especially on protected water. Are you carrying any gear with you or doing anything more than a day or just?
I don't think more than a day. It would just be for, you know, several hours at a time, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so I'd look at one specific boat we sell a ton of is Hurricane Aquasports. It's Hurricane is the brand, and it's called the Santee. And they make a 100, which is 10 feet, and a 11.6, which is 11.6. And I think the 100 weighs 31 pounds. And that's the reason people buy it.
Yeah.
It's really, really light and easy to store, easy to drag around. I just look at the lightest boat possible. But you don't need anything real big for the water you're paddling on. It's protected water.
I see. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. There was quite a difference in kayak that your folks set me up in with Emily. There was actually the two of us, tandem one. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. It was just absolutely perfect. And then I did not have as good an experience with another group in another situation. And it was primarily because I had no back support in the other one. And that was really bad.
It's interesting you say that because the number one feature that people should look at in a boat is the seat.
Yeah,
that's the most important part. And even when buying a car, people will look and, you know, that's a great car, and they'll sit in the seat for 5 minutes. But then, you know, you need a lumbar support and all that stuff. So for a kayak, it's the same thing. You definitely want a boat that has a good seat, and then after that is light, and then after that is aesthetics.
Yeah. Seats are important. I certainly learned that lesson, Chris in Evansville. Your turn. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks very much. I just have some information about an organization I'm a member of. It's Friends of Bad Fish Creek Watershed, and I heard you, Darren, just briefly mention that. We're actually a chapter of the Rock River Alliance or Coalition, and people can go to those websites. There's a link to our group on the Rock River.
Oh! We lost her. Well, it's the second time that's happened. I am sorry. Come, call back for sure, for sure. While we're waiting, well, we can take some more calls, but caller Pat would like a suggestion for the type of canoe and setup to have a six-year-old along.
Perfect. Okay. Another question I hear daily. And the reason is, just as an aside, there's not many activities you can do with a six-year-old outdoors that are doable. I mean, you can't hike because they get tired. You can bike, but they, you know, they're either on a trailer bike or they get tired. But with a canoe, you can take them. And we sell a lot of a boat called the Novacraft Bob Special. That's a 100-something-year-old design from Novacraft. It's a little 15-footer. And it's a great little tandem, but if you flip it around backwards, it's symmetrical. And then the stern seat becomes the bow seat, and it's really close to the front of the boat. So if you flip it around, it trims really nicely.
So
that's how I paddle with my dog, is flip the boat around and put the dog up there. Dog, six-year-old, you know.
Yeah, about the same, about the same. Aaron in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
No, good. I guess I have a pretty similar question. My wife, a couple of weeks ago, kind of threw the idea out of us kayaking, and neither one of us are experienced at all, so we're kind of looking at, when spring comes around, picking up a couple of kayaks, and the only thing is we have a one-and-a-half-year-old baby, well, a toddler, I guess, kind of looking at a couple of them that have, like, a child seat involved in the whole system. I guess I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. Is that too young to bring a kid out? Or, you know,
you're asking the wrong guy that question.
Or what kind of canoes or kayaks you would recommend that, you know, maybe kind a year now?
Yeah. So what I'd recommend is two, one for your wife and one for you and your child.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
So there's a couple really nice boats for kids in that age group. From a Perception called the Prodigy, and there's a 14-footer and a 13-footer. The 13-footer is kind of set up as an adult child boat. It's pretty cool. Yeah, that market they looked at, which is you, and said, we need to make a boat for these people. So then they did, and they nailed it. Yeah,
okay.
It's cool.
And that's actually one we were looking at, so you would highly recommend that, I guess, huh?
I love it when I'm right. It happens so infrequently.
I appreciate your call.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, bye, Aaron. All right. We have Lori in Chicago. Hi, Lori.
Hello there. I think you may have answered part of my question when I was with your screener, so I caught the tail end. But I'm also a new kayaker. I do not own one yet, but I've been out a few times, and I really enjoyed it. And I've been researching kayaks that would fit women better and have a smaller cockpit. I think Perception maybe made one.
There's a number of boats that are designed for women. They actually don't say they're designed for women, but they are.
Right.
Lower deck, usually. The seat usually has a little more room in the hips, just, you know, obviously. Not that applies to everybody, but it does definitely give a lower center of gravity, so you do change the way the boat is built. There's a boat called the Neki Eliza, which is specifically designed for women, and that's a very popular boat. Perception has a couple boats. The Tribute is really, really good for women. And depending on the kind of boat you're looking at, you're looking at a sea kayak-like boat or...
Well, when I've gone out, I've been on tried an 11-footer and a 14.
Okay.
When I've been out. And so I thought maybe 12 is a good boat. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
You know what I think you'd like is a boat called... it's the Wilderness System Tsunami 135. And we use those boats in some of our classes and rentals, and women go crazy for them. They just love them.
Really?
Yep.
Now,
really
is this
nice
a lightweight
boat.
One that I can put on my car? I heard the tail end, you were talking with an older gal, and I'm in my 50s also. So I got to get this on my car, haul it down.
Yep. What kind of car?
Honda CR-V.
Okay. That's not a problem, too. Well, there's Yakima and Thule, the main car company, car rack companies, have solutions for that make it easier to load and unload a boat on top of a car like that.
All right.
But yeah, you come up and test paddle a bunch of boats. You know, that's the best way to do it.
All right. You had mentioned the Santee with that other caller.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because the seat was comfortable and had more support?
The seat isn't bad at all. It's a fine seat. It's for the weight.
And
frankly, the best seat is the one that fits you.
I mean, there's
lots of different kind of people. So, yeah.
All right. And then the paddles. I've noticed they make with a smaller shaft for women to grab it easier.
Yep.
And is there a certain weight? Does it pay to get the lightweight paddles?
My standard answer is no one ever said I wish my paddle weighed more.
Yeah.
You
nobody ever said that.
No, you buy the lightest paddle you choose to afford, I guess is the way I'd put it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you do want the lightweight. Okay.
Well, when you pick one up and try it, you'll get it.
All right. And the length of it corresponds to your height?
Your height, the kind of boat, a couple different factors.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Lori. And, oh my goodness, we finally have some open lines. We can get you on if you would like to join in with a question or comment or maybe an experience, kayaking or canoeing experience to share. Love to hear that, too. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Darren Bush, our guest today from Rutabaga Paddle Sports of Madison. Great to have him along, and thank you for listening. We have a nice photo from Joe, who loves the Chippewa River. So a little kayaking shot on the Chippewa River. I love the Chippewa River, too. Vivian took a shot of an eagle while they were out on the Bois Brule, the River of Presidents, this summer. Yeah. those are wonderful. And we have an email from Pat. Did we mention Paddle Quest yet? Have you said Pat says, have you heard of the group Paddle Quest?
Yeah, I'm familiar with them. I don't know. I haven't been on any of their trips or anything, but it's a fun group, and they're coming to Canucopia this year, I believe. They come last year, and we were sold out already, but I think they're going to be there. Yeah, it's a great group.
Yeah, they sort of mix paddling and environmental activism, so good mixture of things. Yep. And then we have an email from Joe. Came into a 16-foot Grumman aluminum this year, and I'm interested in taking a trip down the Nemecagon at some point this winter. Where would you recommend for a put-in, as well as ideas on transport back to the launch and what info you can share about cold weather paddling?
We'll go backwards. So for cold weather paddling, you want to be dressed, obviously, for immersion. When I canoe in the fall, I don't usually wear a dry suit. What I do is wear wool. And I'm particularly a fan of Filson clothing because it's, you know, super high quality, really beefy, nice wool. And I've gone in, you know, October, November, you know, squeegeed my clothes off. And wool retains its warmth when it's wet. So as long as you don't get soaked and stay that way, it's a pretty good way to go. As far as, you know, put-ins and take-outs, it really depends how long your trip is. That's the most important thing. So as far as shuttling goes, moving your car back and forth, there's usually outfitters that'll do that for you for a nominal fee, you know, $20 or $30. And I wouldn't recommend anybody do this, but I usually hitchhike. I just hold the paddle up and people know I'm there. I get picked up in two or three cars later, I'm in the car. So, yeah, I would never recommend that to anybody.
All right. Just that's how you do it sometimes.
That's how I do it sometimes. And my wife isn't listening, so that's even better.
Chris in Evansville, let's go to you. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I was just calling before, and my call was dropped, so I'm going to try this again.
Oh, okay.
I'm a member of the Friends of Bad Fish Creek Watershed, and I heard Darren briefly mention the Bad Fish Creek. We're a chapter of the Rock River Coalition, and if people want to go to the website, there's a link to our group. We have a lot of nice information on there, and I think the best part to paddle the bad fish, well, it starts in South Madison and goes through Dane County into Rock County. And probably the best section, I would say, is from Cooksville to Fulton. That's a really nice trip. And if you wanted to continue, you could connect to the Yahara and then connect to the Rock and connect to the Mississippi and go all the way to the Gulf of Mexico if you wanted to. Yeah. But the Bad Fish is a little-known recreational creek and a really nice one, too.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and the water level is fairly consistent because it's a little-known fact that the water in there is part of the effluent from the Madison Sewer District, which freaks people out. But the water is actually cleaner than a lot of the lakes sometimes.
Oh, sure.
That's really true. People shouldn't be freaked out about that.
Oh, no.
No.
It's checked so regularly, and actually, as you said, the water quality is much, much cleaner than many other places that aren't monitored that way.
Yeah, and that's a fun trip. I've done that several times. There's a couple of sneaky corners, you know, a little railroad bridge to slide under, but for the most part, it's you know, a little bit of riffles here and there. Great river.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Yep, thank you.
Appreciate the call. And got an email from Gloria. I'm really enjoying the show, she says. My husband and I are 62. I'm a 2-year breast cancer survivor. Tried kayaking the summer of my surgery and fell in love with it. Neither age nor illness have been an obstacle to pursuing that sport, and I feel it's a great adjunct to our health. We have become avid kayakers and love to paddle whenever we can. We both have our own boats, Love to paddle up north and watch the eagles. It's just heaven on earth and so good for the body and the soul. Isn't that a nice statement?
Nothing else to add to that. We do have a lot of cancer survivors who get into paddling, and specifically breast cancer survivors. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and I guess another way to look at the world. Jackie and Drummond, your turn. Hi, Jackie.
Well, yeah, I'm going to give a little plug for the Nemecog and encouragement to that older women in the two-year increment, the Berkey Girls, which a group of women like 62 to 80 get together every Tuesday. So a group of us, you know, over the two summers, kayak the whole length of the Nemecogon. And a little message to that fellow who wants to do it. If he looks at a map, there's a lot of landings that are close to, you know, a road. But Bear Country, I'll give a little plug for them, is a gas station and an outfitter in Cable and in Drummond. And I'm sure if even it's off-season, if anybody calls Bear Country, you know, they would give you the shuttle service.
Well, there you go.
Wonderful.
And a little hint.
Yeah.
I have a 10-foot dagger, and I was too ambitious. It just fit in my car, but I gave it that one push, and I don't have to tell you what happened, right through the window. So if you put your kayak in your car, be gentle, right?
I once saw a guy slam a 13-foot boat into his Volkswagen bus,
oh.
And it went right through the front windshield. Yep.
Oh. But I did it twice, but I'm not going to do it three times. So thank you.
You learn from your mistakes. That's great.
Thanks, Jackie.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, twice. Oh, my goodness. Sean in Bailey's Harbor. Hi, Sean.
Hi. I have a question. I have an old Grumman aluminum canoe I know will last forever, but I also have a Kevlar Winona kayak that was made before they bought out current designs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering how long I can expect that Kevlar to last and if there's something I should do to treat it.
Is it clear?
No.
So you can't see the fabric? No, so it's gel-coated.
No.
It'll last as long as you take good care of it, which means, you know, if it touches air and water and you store it out of the sun as much as you can, it'll last, you know, in perpetuity. If you need to patch it, you can patch it. As far as gel coat goes, if you store it outside, you want to use a good UV inhibitor on it. Something like UV Tech, or you can use even a car wax that's like a, you know, Rain Dance or something that uses a UV inhibitor in it, but it should last forever.
Okay, good. So just keep it inside or cover.
Yep, and keep paddling it. It likes to be paddled.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, thanks a lot, Sean. Andy in Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Good.
Dan, this is Andy Janicki, the accessibility coordinator with the DNR.
I thought it might be. Hey, Andy.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to call to talk about adaptive kayaking opportunities for people with disabilities. What I do for the state is try to basically enhance outdoor recreation for people with disabilities around the state. And a big part of that, what I've been doing the past few years, is opening up kayaking opportunities for people with limited function or any kind of disability. So there are 6 state parks throughout the state now that have these adaptive kayaks, which basically have outriggers on them and a specialized seating system. So they have a raised back and then side supports. And then for anyone with, say, limited grip, such as a quadriplegic, like myself, actually, there are paddle adaptations as well.
Wow, that sounds wonderful, Andy.
Yeah,
it really is. I sent an email in earlier, and I just thought I'd call too. I sent in a picture of myself with my wheelchair strapped to the back deck of my boat, just so that you can check it out. And I also sent in the webpage called Open the Outdoors, which is a portion of the DNR website that's attributed solely to adaptive outdoor recreations for people with disabilities.
Did you say that you emailed that, or did you post it on my Facebook page, the photo?
I emailed it in, actually.
Okay, we'll probably, Judith will transfer it over to our Facebook page so people can see it. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's
cool. And you guys obviously know each other.
Yeah, we have an adaptive paddling program at Rutabaga. You know, it's not something we publicize that much, but it's there to help people like Andy who want to get into paddling. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Rutabaga does a lot of great stuff. And, I don't know, I've helped out with Canoe Acopia in the past. And I guess I don't know. One of the great things that I just really want to say one last thing is, paddling, especially for people who are in wheelchairs, it's really like a great equalizer because, a lot of what I do is help out with, trail design and stuff like that. And if you're in a wheelchair, it doesn't take much of a slope to slow you down.
Yeah.
But, when you're on the water, it's, you can get about anywhere else where people can go. And, when at a distance, you really don't see a lot of the modifications that I talked about. And so it really is a great way for people with disabilities to get outside and, enjoy things.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy, thank you so much. I really appreciate your call.
Yeah. No, thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm. And as he said, there's information on that on the DNR website. We might be trying to get a post of that, a link to that on our sure. Facebook page, too. Marian Superior, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I just want to put in a plug for a store called Outdoor Ventures in Hayward, Wisconsin. I bought my kayak there, and they gave me the best advice ever. And it mirrors what you said about how important the seat is. Their Old Town kayaks have three adjustments, the part you sit on plus the back, and then, of course, the angle of your leg. And I was new to kayaking, and the advice I got there was just absolutely right on, and I've enjoyed it immensely. And also the lightness of the paddle, which is exceedingly important. So a plug for Outdoor Ventures in Hayward, Wisconsin. Great advice.
Ah, wonderful. Thanks,
yeah.
Mary.
And I know those guys. They're great. Yeah, there's some really good shops in Wisconsin and northern Illinois, mostly Wisconsin.
Wonderful. Mary, thank you so much. Somebody, actually more than one person, has asked about kayak fishing.
Mm-hmm.
What equipment or what kayak would you recommend for it? And
well, at its most basic, you need a kayak and a fishing pole. Any kayak is a fishing kayak, but there are kayaks that are designed specifically for kayak fishing. They have rod holders, they have anchor trolleys, things that make it so it's turnkey. You just jump in the boat and go.
Yeah, and any of the types that you'd recommend?
We got a bunch.
Yeah.
Jackson Kayak makes a really nice one called the Cuda and the Kusa. Native Watercraft makes one called the Ultimate 12 and 14, and those are both very, very good sellers.
Well, I'm telling you what, it always is inspiring to have you on because I'm ready to get outside and get out on the water every time you're with us, Darren. Thank you so much.
Too. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yep, bye-bye.
Darren Bush, Chief Paddling Evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, our guest. And, of course, he'll be back. He'll be back again, and we'll do this all over again with him to talk some more about paddling and the paddle sports. Always a lot of fun to talk with him. We're going to stay with the outdoor recreation topic for our next segment as well. Coming up next, Grant Peterson joins us to talk about his new book, which I really found interesting. It's Just Ride, a radically practical guide to riding your bike. So stay with us right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.